blessed tonight?
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, yes.
Sure is.
Amen. I want to go to the book of Hebrews, please. Go back there and share some things. Stand for the reading of the word. Amen, amen, amen. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19. Praise God, praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just take a moment. Let's just have a word of prayer. Amen. Let's just ask God to help us tonight. Just our minds to be on the words. I know it's very easy. We're living in a hectic time. And it's hard sometimes to come to church and just tune everything else out that you got to do. And I believe the devil just makes it harder too when you're at church. He doesn't want your mind on the word of the Lord. And the Lord can help us. The Spirit can help us tonight. And we can receive from the word of the Lord. And He can touch our bodies and just strengthen us. Amen. I know it's easy to be weary sometimes on Wednesday nights. Amen. And it's easy for just to stop. And when your body stops, I mean, you just kind of shut down, you know. And you don't receive what God wants you to receive. But the Lord will help us. Let's just pray together. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together tonight, Jesus. And just help us, Lord, I pray, Father. And God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you just be with us tonight, Lord. And as we go to your word, Lord, I pray, Father, that you just touch us, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd give us strength, Lord, here tonight. We need you, Lord. We need your touch, Jesus. I ask you, God, that our minds would be upon you, Lord. I ask you, Lord Jesus, just to help us, Jesus. Touch us, Lord, I pray. God, I pray, Lord, that we could just concentrate on you, Lord. The next time, Lord, period that we have here. And God, that we would receive from your word, Lord, I pray, Jesus, and touch, Lord. We need you, oh God. Touch us, Lord, I pray, Father, touch us, Lord, Jesus. Oh, God, I pray, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We need you, God. We need you, Lord. We need you, oh God. To work, Lord, I pray, God. Touch, Lord Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, that you give the anointing we need here tonight, Lord. I pray that there'd be liberty, God. And I pray, God, Lord, that nothing would hinder us tonight, Lord Jesus. Just touch us, Lord. I pray, God, touch us, Lord. Touch us, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the provision of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. I want to stop there. Can you say amen to God's word?
Amen.
If you'll notice in this passage, He gives us about four things that we are to do. You may be seated. I want to look at tonight. He tells us, if you'll notice in your Bibles, verse 22, verse 23, verse 24, all begin with, let us. These are things that we are to do. And then in verse 25, he gives us another job or something that we are to do also. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. In the passage that we read in verse, starting at verse 19, he tells us some things that why we are able to do those things in verse 22, 23, 24, and 25. It's because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. That we are able to draw near. We're able to hold fast. We're able to consider one another. It's because of the cross and the Calvary and what Jesus Christ has done for us. He tells us in verse 19, he says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are able to go into the presence of the Lord because of Jesus Christ. We're able to have that boldness to go in there. It's not an arrogant boldness that we enter into His presence, but it's an assurance, a boldness that we are able to do this, that we are able to go into His presence, and it is by the blood of Jesus Christ. We know that the early Old Testament saints and the children of Israel, the process that they had to go through with the sacrifices and the things that they had to present, and they never was able to go right into the presence of the Holy God. They was never able to do that. The high priest was the one that would make the sacrifices. He was the one that had to have everything right before he went behind that veil. And he was the one that went into the presence of God. And he had to have everything in line. Excuse me. I don't think that this these high priests, I had done some reading and read some things about this on this passage, and some people said that, you know, that the high priest was very nervous and was very scared when he had to go into the presence of the Lord, when he had to go in behind that veil, because if he didn't have everything right, if he didn't have everything in order, if there was any sin or anything in his life, you know what would happen. They would be dragging him out of there by a rope. He had to have everything perfect. I don't think it's so much myself personally that the high priest, you know, was just scared and shaken when he had to do this. I think he was prepared to go in there. I think he knew he had everything right. He knew that everything was in line. And he could go in there with boldness knowing that he had everything okay. And I believe it's the same thing with us today, that we are able to go into the presence of the Lord with the assurance that everything's okay. That our sins are gone. We can go into the presence of the Lord and we can have that boldness to enter into His presence. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ. He tells us in the Old Testament they didn't have this privilege. It was through the blood of sacrifices that their sins could be covered, that their sins could be behind them. But today, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can have that boldness to go right into the presence of the Lord. I don't have to go through a priest this morning or this evening. I don't have to call him up. I don't have to wait to a certain time. I don't have to go get an animal and make sure everything was sacrificed and everything was okay in that sense. I can now, with my own personal self, I can go right in to the presence of the Lord, and I can do it with an assurance. I can do it with a boldness tonight, church. That is a great privilege we have. And I think sometimes we forget about that. We take it for granted that we can go. It don't matter what time of the day it is. It doesn't matter where you're at even. You can go right in into the presence of the Lord. Amen. Could enter in there because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Right into the presence of a holy God. He tells us, having therefore this boldness, church, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. In verse 20, he tells us it is by a new and a living way. A new and living way. This word, when you talk about it, it's a new way and it's a living way. This doesn't mean so much it was a new way or that it was something that has become new all of a sudden. This plan of salvation was planned out before the foundations of the world was even created or spoken into existence. It was there in the beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God knew that they would sin. He gave them the choice to do that. To obey Him or not to obey them. But God knew what they would do. He didn't force them to do either one. He gave them a choice. And here He knew what the results. He knew what they would do. And it did not come a shock. They didn't have to go back. And the Trinity did not have to get together again and say, we need to come up with another plan. Man has sinned. They already knew. Jesus Christ knew before the foundations of the world that He would be dying on the cross for the sin of mankind. He knew that. So when you talk about that this is a new way, this word new is maybe the translators maybe could have, could have maybe choose a different word, a little better word. But this word new, when you look it up, it means a slain. It simply means slain. So if you was to read that, it would say by a slain and living way, which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. We know that Jesus Christ became the Lamb of God for us, and He was slain on that cross for us, just as that priest would take that lamb and would slay it on the altar for the sins of the people. We know that Jesus Christ was slain for us, and He tells us here in this verse that it is a slain sacrifice that God, Jesus was slain for us. And when you die, when that animal was put on that altar, it died. Right. Its throat was slit, the blood was caught, life came out of that lamb or that animal. It was dead. Jesus Christ, when He was on the cross, we know that His blood was shed on the cross. We know that, that towards the end of the time He was on the cross, that the soldiers went up and took that sword and pierced His side. And the Bible talks about how blood and water came gushing out of the side of our Savior. He was slain on that cross. The physical Jesus died on that cross. They had to physically take Him down. He was dead. He was slain for us, for our sins. But Paul goes a little farther in that and tells us it's by a slain and by also by a living way. Man had to take Him down off that cross. Those soldiers had to take Him down. And they took those ropes. They lowered Him down. They wrapped Him in the cloth. They put Him in that tomb, that grave. And He was, His body was physically dead. But on that third day, that third morning, on that Sabbath, that time with resurrection morning, when those women was going to the tomb, and they was more worried about trying to figure out how they going to roll the tomb away while they was walking there before daylight. They're talking among themselves. How are we going to roll the tomb away or the stone away? How are we going to roll this big rock away? And when they get there, it's already taken place. Somewhere early that morning, the angel of the Lord came and the presence of God was there. And that stone was rolled away, church. And He is alive. And the angels would speak to the women, why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here. He's alive. And Paul says it's a slain sacrifice, but it's a living way also.
Amen.
Amen. It's a living way, church. And we can be alive today. Because the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And it's through Jesus Christ, church.
Amen.
We are alive today through the blood of Jesus Christ. And He tells us it's a living way, church. That Old Testament lamb, it never came back alive. But through Jesus Christ, He is alive today. And also when you're talking about it's a living way, it also means this word living, it also means that it's a fresh way. Now what are you talking about when I say fresh? When that lamb was slain in the Old Testament, immediately that priest would catch that blood. That blood was fresh. I don't mean to be gross in any way, but it was warm. That blood was warm. It wasn't, and you know how when you cut yourself and you bleed, you know the blood clots. Well, that blood in that bowl, in that basin, when he would take that hyssop, that blood was not to be old blood. It was not to be clotted blood. It had to be fresh. It was something they did quickly. And it talks about here with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that Paul is telling us here in that passage that it's a living way. He also is using this word, it's a fresh way. In other words, that the blood that's shed on Calvary over 2,000 years or almost 2,000 years ago is still fresh today. Mankind can still go to the cross today and have that fresh blood applied to his life. And his sins can be washed away. They can be thrown in the sea of forgiveness. They can never be brought back to remembrance. It's a fresh sacrifice even in 2011.
Amen.
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 It doesn't get old.
Amen. That's right.
And it won't get old. Amen. Until that time comes, but it's going to be a fresh sacrifice, church.
Right.
Tomorrow, tonight, someone can come. And around this world, I'm sure there is somebody in time, somewhere, if it's in China or wherever it may be, somebody will get on their face before God and ask God to have mercy on their soul and repent of their sin. And that fresh blood, that fresh sacrifice can be applied to their life and they can become a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
It's a fresh sacrifice, church. Amen, amen. Praise God. I see a lot of people fanning. I don't know, Brother Steve, you might need to turn it down a notch. I turned it on, but I saw Sister Knox fanning a little bit though, so I know they must be hot out there. Amen. Praise God. I don't want you to get hot. You get hot, you get sleepy. Amen. Praise God. You still with me tonight? Say amen. We're talking about what God has done for us. Amen. We're not in bondage no more. Amen. Jesus Christ is still alive. The Muslim religion, they can't offer this sacrifice that man can be set free. They don't have any of these things today to offer mankind. All they can do is try to make them and deceive them into their false religion. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're not deceived, we're set free. Amen. There's been a change in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Something's took place.
Oh, yeah.
And it's that fresh sacrifice. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Which He has consecrated for us. Or in other words, He's dedicated that for us. It's set apart
oh, yeah.
for us.
Thank God.
Consecrated. It's there for us tonight, church. That sacrifice, that living way, it's been dedicated, it's been appointed to us, it's consecrated to us. In other words, He gave all He had for us right there on that cross. He laid down His life for us that we could be set free, church. He's given it all to us, church. He has not held anything back. Jesus Christ has not held anything back from us, church.
Amen.
He gave us all to us. Praise God. And Paul would write and tell us it's a living way which has been consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, His flesh. Through the veil. Paul says, that is His flesh. That priest in the Old Testament, he would go behind that veil, that curtain. He'd push it aside a little bit and slip in there. All the other people, they didn't see what was going on behind that veil. They didn't see what it was like in there in the Holy of Holies and all those things. They didn't know. They had to stand on the outsides. But He would slip in behind that veil. And He would perform those sacrifices and the ceremonial things that would take place. But Paul says that what has happened now through Jesus Christ is that through the veil, which was a separation from going into the presence of God. That veil was a divider, a curtain. It wasn't a sheet. It was heavy. It was thick. In Josephus' writings, he talks about that it would take two yoke of oxen pulling in separate direction to rip it in two. It was very heavy, very thick cloth, solid curtain. And here, it was a divider that would keep the people from the presence of God and the sacrifice and the things that was going on. But Paul would take it farther than that in our what Jesus Christ has done for us. And now he tells us that we have a living way, as I mentioned. Man can be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He can be set free. He can now go behind that veil. Now he can go right into the presence of God. You can go right into the presence of God. Just as she was talking about, that young girl was able to go right into the presence of God. Be in His presence. The Spirit of the Lord right there upon her. That is what God has done for us. That's what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, church. But Paul tells us it's because of His body being torn. So that veil was separating us from the presence of God. But when Christ was crucified on the cross, and the Bible talks about how He says it is finished, and the Bible talks about and tells us how that veil was rent in two from the top to the bottom. It was ripped in two. That curtain that separated man from going into the presence of God. Only the priests could do that. But now that veil is rent in two, and we can go right into the presence of God. It's because Christ's body was torn, it was ripped, it was shredded on that cross for our sins. Now we can go behind that curtain. Now we can go into the presence of the Lord. I don't have to ask a priest to do it for me. Now I can go right into the presence of the Lord because the veil no longer separates us. Christ was broken on the cross. Now I can go right into His presence.
Amen.
Right into the presence of our Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, church, the Old Testament saints, they didn't have it like we've got it, church.
Right.
I mean, you think about it. They didn't know what it was like to go right into the presence of the Lord. There was a curtain. There was something dividing them from that.
Right.
Now, our sins will do that. Our sins will separate us from God. But that veil has been rent in two. Christ's body has been broken that we can go right in. And His blood can be applied to our lives. And we can be set free and we can be in the presence of God, church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Boy, I tell you, we take this Christian walk for granted. We take this salvation for granted, church. Almighty God that created the heavens and the earth. I mean, He speaks the Word. And He takes dirt and He makes mankind and He breathes into it and becomes living.
That's right.
He died on the cross and the third day He's resurrected, He's arisen. And now, church, we can go right into the presence of this King.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. What joy that ought to bring, church. I'm telling you. We shouldn't let fear grip us. We can go right into the presence of God. I'm telling you, you can be in the darkest valley of your life and you can go right into the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Because the veil has been rent, which is His body. Amen.
Right.
He tells us in verse 21, we have a high priest over the house of God. We don't have a priest as in a man that we go to and He presents those sacrifices. Jesus Christ did that for us. He is our priest. He is our high priest. And He is the one that not only presented a sacrifice, He is the one that became the sacrifice. He is the one that has done this for us. And now we have a high priest which is over the house of God. His name is Jesus Christ, church. He is our priest. Other places it talks about Him being the shepherd. It talks about Him being the door. It talks about Him being these things. But we have a high priest tonight, church, that Paul is talking about. It is what Jesus Christ did on the cross through His sacrifice and His body being rent and His blood being shed, that now He is our high priest.
Amen.
I don't look to man. I don't go to man for salvation. I don't look to man for salvation. Jesus Christ is our high priest. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And I believe in verses 19, 20, and 21 that we talked about, that what Jesus Christ has done for us and His sacrifices He made for us on the cross, now being able to go right into His presence. Paul tells us that now we have this. It's for us when he's writing this letter. But he now is going to tell us that we are to do some things. It's, we have some obligations now that we are to do.
Right.
You know, it's not just that Jesus Christ presented the sacrifice and then, you know, we have a free ticket right into heaven. We have to do our parts.
Right.
We have some obligations that we have to do. It is because Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross that now we are able to do these things.
Right.
We're not able, as He talks about in verse 22, we're not able to draw near to Jesus, or draw near to God, if there wasn't never a Calvary. We wouldn't be able to do that. We wouldn't be able to draw near if that blood was still not fresh at the Calvary tonight. But because Christ died on the cross, because that blood is still fresh there, and it still can be applied to people's lives, and they can be set free, now we are able to do these things.
Amen.
The first thing He tells us is because you have this, and because God is your, or Jesus is your high priest, the first thing He tells us in verse 22 is that we are to draw near. We are to draw near. God wants man to draw near to Him. Before there was a curtain, there was a veil, and Christ paid a great price that could be rent in two, that man could go right now into His presence and he could draw close to God.
Amen.
God wants fellowship with His creation.
Amen.
Yes, He does.
Jesus.
All the way from the beginning, Adam and Eve, He would go down. And He would have communion with Him.
Right.
He wanted to be with them. Sin separated. Sin separated that. But through the blood of Jesus Christ,
right,
we can draw close to Him.
Yeah. Amen.
I can draw close to Christ.
Yeah.
Each day, it's just not a one-time thing. It's just not a one-time event. It's just not a one-time experience. It needs to be fresh. It needs to be daily that we draw near to God, church. That's the problem. Our relationship draws cold because we don't continue to draw near to Him. And He tells us, let us draw near with a true heart. Talking about a true heart, just a sincere heart is what He's saying here. Be sincere. Why do you want to draw near to God? What's your purpose? You see, a lot of times when we went to the jail, you know, they would try to draw near to God because they wanted to get out of jail. You know, we talked about jailhouse religion. And a lot of those men would get religious, hoping that God would show favor on them. And then they could get out, hoping they could get out quicker. The judge would be kind to them. But I'm telling you, Paul tells us here, he says, you need to come to Him. You need to draw close to Him with a sincere heart.
Right.
With a true purpose, with a true desire.
Amen.
God knows your heart. He knows what you're going to do. He knows, church, what your desire is right now as you're sitting here. Praise God.
Yeah. All right, amen.
So He tells us to do it with sincerity. It's not what you can get out of God. It's not what kind of blessings God will you bestow upon me if I draw closer to you. No, it's you wanting just to be in the presence of God. It's not that you're trying to get something out of God. You just want to be in His presence. You just want to draw closer to Him. You just want to be more like Him. So that's what the purpose is. It needs to be with a sincere heart. And what you're doing and why you're doing that. And He talks about also in a full assurance of faith. That priest, when he went into the holies of holies, as I mentioned, he had to have everything just right. And I believe that he had assurance that he knows everything is in order. My life is right. I got everything in order to present these sacrifices. Everything's right. And I believe that priest did not go behind that veil until he had everything right. So he knew everything was right. He was going to be fully assured. He was coming back out of there. Alive.
Alive.
So what Paul is telling us here in this full assurance is this. When you go in the presence of God, you're going there with a sincere heart. And you're confident. You're confident. You have full assurance of faith that God's going to be there. That priest, when he had everything right, and he would go behind that veil, he knew the presence of God was going to be there. He was fully persuaded. He was convinced that the sacrifice was going to be accepted. God's presence was going to be there. You need to have that same assurance that when you go into the presence of God, that He's going to be there. When you draw close to Him, He's going to be there. Be fully persuaded. Having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. In other words, when you're going in the presence of God, you've already gone to Calvary. The sin's already gone. You've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now He's telling us, when you are drawing near to God, don't go there with your conscience sprinkled or go there with an evil conscience. Have your hearts pure. Don't go there with guilt, in other words. You say, how can you do that? Well, it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that you can go into His presence and that your conscience can be pure. It's washed. Now, if your conscience cannot be pure, then you need to go back to the cross. You need to go back to the blood. It's still flowing fresh. And you need to repent. But if all that's been taken care of, and He's wanting us to draw near to Him. He's telling us, come to do, come with a sincere heart and your conscience clean. You say, what about all the things I committed before? You have to go in there, as He tells us, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. You're righteous now. Your sins are gone. You're in good standings with God. He didn't tell us that the things we committed in sin and the acts, that they would not still be there in the sense of what you sow, you're going to reap. Those things are still going to take place. A man who sowed something 20 years ago, he could still be reaping it today. I remember in Florida at a church we attended, there was an elderly woman, a godly woman, a saint, no doubt about it. But when she was young, 18, 20s, in that time period, she dipped snuff. And now she's up in her 60s, 70s, in her 70s even. And she got cancer in the jaw. From what she did 50 years ago. Well, no doubt she knew that God had forgiven her of her sins. Her conscience was clean. But she still reaped what she sowed a long time ago. And that cancer was literally eating her jaw and her lip. I mean, on the outside. And when you went into her room, it was the smell of rotten flesh. That's what the cancer was doing to her. But this was a godly saint. But we can go right into the presence of God with a pure conscience, church. It has to be washed. And it's by the blood of Jesus Christ, church. I know what we've done in our past, but it's gone. And you've got to go on now with Jesus Christ. I remember years ago, back in the 90s, mid-90s, not long after we moved here. And I was working on BOA Road there at Salvage Yard. But we lived right next door. I mean, I could walk across the yard to work. And Nathan and Andrew, they were probably 5, 6 years old, maybe not even that old. But anyhow, they'd be in the backyard playing. And I could be over there in the shop and look out, see them playing and stuff. And one of the men that worked there, he looked over and saw them playing, having a good time and stuff. And he said, you know, this was a wicked man. I mean, he was very ungodly, the things of the world and stuff. And he said, I wish I could go back. I wish I could go back and have that innocence that those little kids had. And I told them, I said, you can in the sense that Jesus Christ can wash your sins. You still going to reap what you sow. I mean, he had a lot of baggage in life and from the world. But your conscience can be pure. Your conscience can be pure. You can have that type of innocence. It's like as you have never sinned, you have become righteous, church. You say, that's impossible. See, we're downgrading what God can do for us. We're downgrading what God can do for us. Well, the devil comes and starts telling me all this stuff. Put the devil in his place. Draw near to God. That's what he's telling us. So he tells us, draw near to God with a true heart, with sincere and a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, he tells us, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised. Through Jesus Christ, we have entrance to the Holy of Holies, into his presence. Now Paul is telling us, you hold fast to what you have.
Amen.
You hold fast to what you have. This hold fast is not that you just have something, a light grip on something, and you let it slip out of your hands. It's not that. It's not something that you are that's slippery, and you're going to just let it slip right out of your hands. If some of you might know, I believe it was last Wednesday, I dropped the bottle of oil. My wife says I need glasses, but I thought I set it on the rail, and I missed the rail, but anyhow, it slipped out of my hands. It slipped right through, and I thought I was setting it on the rail, when I let go of it, the rail wasn't there. And that's something that a lot of people are doing with salvation. They just have a hold of it lightly, and it slips right out of their hands and things. And you know, and you think you have it. You know, as I thought I was sitting on the rail, but I missed the rail. And when I went to pray for Brother Woods, I poked him in the eyeball too. And I missed his forehead and everything. But, you know, my wife says I need glasses. She's probably right. But anyhow, that's what people do. They don't have a hold of that. They're taking their salvation lightly. And Paul is telling us this truth that you have, you grab a hold of it like it's a rope, like you're hanging over a cliff, and it's all that you got a hold of. And Paul's telling us, don't take this lightly. As I mentioned a few weeks back, I believe there's a storm brewing. I believe it's there. It's coming. And I'm telling you, your faith is going to be tried. Satan is going to try to bring doubt to your life and discouragement. And you better hold on to what you have.
Amen.
And Paul's telling us, draw near. Hold fast the profession of our faith. Now this word profession means knowledge. Hold fast the knowledge of your faith or acknowledgement. Hold fast to what you know. As I mentioned, Satan's going to try you.
Yes, he is.
He's going to try to bring down about this holiness way, church.
Yes, he is. He sure is.
And Paul's telling us, you better hold on fast, tightly, to what you know.
Amen.
As we talk about in this church, we have a lot of teaching, we have a lot of studies, we have good preaching and things, you know, and we grow in the Lord. We have some new people, you know, that hasn't come very long. Some of us that started out in this race, I believe if you was to ask them, I believe they would tell you that I've already grown in the Lord. Just the short time that I've been here. And I believe what Paul is telling us, that knowledge that you have, hold on to it.
Right.
Don't let it slip out of your hands. Don't let Satan take it away from you. You've been, truth has come to you. Truth's been revealed to you. You better hold on to it with all you have, because Satan is going to try to take it from you.
Amen.
He's telling us, hold fast.
Right.
Hold fast.
Right.
To the truth that you have.
Yeah.
If you start letting go on that grip just a little bit, it's going to come out.
Yes,
you're going to lose out, church. That storm will overcome you. You won't be able to stand that storm, church. It'll blow your salvation right away, I'm telling you. And you'll be without.
Right.
Don't look at what other churches are doing. Don't look at the things that's going on today. Don't look at what other people are doing. Get your eyes on God. Draw near to Him, He tells us.
Amen.
Hold fast to the knowledge of Him that you have. Deception, I'm telling you, church, in this last day is going to get stronger and stronger.
Amen.
Emory is talking about people being deceived, you know, and during the tribulation, mentioned it in our Sunday's afternoon study, you know, people say, I'll never be deceived. That won't happen to me. Well, they're already deceived.
Amen.
They've already been deceived. They haven't got there yet. And that's what's happening to people. And it's through organized religion, church. I was talking to a man today, and he was talking about, and he was telling me about a writer, a famous minister writer. His name's Tony, and his last name has slipped my mind. I'm sorry. But anyhow, he's preaching and his writings and stuff. He's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, homosexuality is going to run rampant, church.
Amen.
It's going to run rampant. They're going to bring up some of that voting in our next election in states and stuff. And it's going to run rampant, church. And we need to get a hold of the truth.
Right.
But we got organized religion. Men who are calling themselves men of God. Who will say homosexuality is not even a sin.
Right. Amen. You're right.
And here this man is writing and telling us that God didn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their homosexual activity. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because they weren't hospitable.
Come on.
Can you believe such junk? These are people calling themselves Christians, church. You heard Brother Woods talking about a church simply puts on a sign. Homosexuality is a sin.
Right.
And they wanted to tear the sign apart.
Yeah.
That's the hour we're living in, church.
Amen.
And He tells us, you better hold fast with what you have, church. You better hold fast to that knowledge, that truth that you have. Don't let the Satan deceive you, church. The Bible tells us to buy the truth. Sell it not.
Right.
If you got a price, Satan will find it.
Yes.
And he'll pay it for you.
Right.
You better put it's not for sale sign on it, church.
Right.
And you better hold fast. Better hold fast.
Yes.
Praise God. He tells us to hold fast, for He is faithful that has promised. Doubt. Some of you weren't there, but the little exhort message that Brother Messer gave Saturday evening, I believe it was, about praying, going back, knocking some more. And keep on knocking. Because what Satan does is he brings doubts. He brings doubts. He doubts, you know, he brings doubt to us about the standards of holiness and the Holy Ghost and baptism and all those things. You know, he brings doubt and we see other churches, you know, and things. People get their eyes on that. And he brings doubt, you know. They're doing those things. Are they saved and stuff? And doubt, you know, he wants to give us doubts in that sense. Then he wants to give us doubt on what God will do for us. Whether it's healing or revival or just working in our lives. Being filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Doubts. He just keeps bombarding us with doubts.
Yes,
and Paul is telling us, hold fast to the truth.
Yes.
If it's in God's Word, believe it.
Right.
And believe it's for us today.
Right.
Believe it's for you today.
Yes.
And cry out to God, God, I want what you have for me. And Paul tells us, he says, He's faithful. God is faithful as He promised. He is going to do what He promised, church. Don't let doubt hold on. Hold fast to the knowledge you have. For He is faithful as promised. Verse 24, He tells us what we need to do. Is let us consider one another unto love and to good works. This is part of drawing near to God, church. Holding fast. What we need to do because of what's been done on the cross for us is we need to consider one another. And this word consider means to, you know, a lot of times when we talk about considering one another, it's more than, you know, you're walking through the door and you consider your brother and you let them go first or something like that. It's more than that. That's not what he's talking about. This word consider means to observe fully. To observe fully. So let us observe one another, he tells us. Why are we wanting to observe one another? Why is he telling us that we need to watch each other? Observe. I mean, when you observe something, you're watching it. Why do we need to do that? It's not just so you can find faults in that person. But he's telling us what you need to do is you need to observe one another so you can provoke them unto love. And to good works. If you don't know that person, if you're not observe that person, how are you going to provoke them to love and to good works? How are you going to instruct them? If you don't know what they're going through, if you don't know what they're facing, if you don't know some weaknesses, if you don't see them and maybe getting slack some areas, how are you going to provoke them and, or encourage them to love if you don't even know anything about them? So he tells us what you need to do is you need to observe one another so you can help that person. I have to observe my children so I know in areas and struggles and things they're facing. And I can ask them, you know, a lot of times I can tell, you know, what's wrong? Is there something wrong? What's on your minds? Because I know them. I've observed them. I've spent time with them. And he tells us this is what we need to do with each other. Why? Because Satan's after Brother John.
Yes.
Everybody thinks Brother John's got an easy road. I mean, he's just a happy-go-lucky fella. He comes to church, he's happy all the time. You don't know what he goes through.
Come on, brother.
You don't know what he's facing.
That's right.
So I need to observe. We knew, see, he went through some things in his house that we could only imagine because we weren't there in this house situation. But we encouraged and we tried to help. And we need to do that with each other spiritually too.
Yes, amen.
You think your pastors, you know, I mean, they got it made, you know, an easy road. Brother Woods, he's always got the victory. He may always have the victory, but you don't know what battle he's been through to keep that victory.
That's right, amen. Go ahead. True.
So we need to observe each other, know each other, pray for each other, help each other. When you have a church and don't even know the person who's sitting across the aisle from you and things like that, you can't help each other. When you've got these mega churches, got thousands of people, and all you are is a number to them, they can't help each other. They can't do nothing for you. But when you have a church that can observe each other, maybe you know some people that's haven't been faithful. Well, I'm telling you, when you haven't been faithful to the house of God, Satan is bombarding that person.
That's right. Amen.
That person needs some encouragement. He needs to be provoked to love. He might be discouraged. She may be going through some things. You don't know. You don't know what's behind their closed doors there and what they're facing. You need to observe and try to help them.
Right.
And try to be aware of your brothers and sisters. Encourage them.
Right.
Sicknesses and different things they go through.
Right.
And struggles. It's a struggle for Sister Knox and Brother Knox's health and stuff.
Right. Come on.
It's a struggle, church.
Boy.
You observe that and provoke to love and good works. Help. These are things that we must do with each other. You cannot be a church. You cannot be a true church and not have this kind of fellowship.
That's right. Amen.
You can't.
Good, brother. Come on.
Because if I can't get that kind of fellowship at the church, I'm not going to get it in the world. The world don't want me to succeed. The world wants me to be torn down. The world wants to walk over you. And I need to come to the house of God where people are going to be observing. They're going to help me. They're going to help me. I may have a smile on my face, but they know some things I've been through. They know it's difficult. Because they observed. They've watched me. Your motive better be right while you're watching that person.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let us consider one another. Or let us observe fully one another to provoke them unto love and to good works. Provoke them unto love and to good works. I'm telling you, church. I can't say it enough. It's on my mind tonight. Satan is fighting. He is going to fight. He is going to fight.
Yes,
man asked me today, you think the rapture is close? And I said, it's getting closer every day.
Right.
I mean, it's getting closer every day. And I mean, the closer it gets, the harder Satan's going to fight. Iniquity is going to wax worse. The Bible tells us men are going to become more evil and seducers. And the Bible, Paul warned us throughout his writings that in the last days, they will become seducing spirits, church. They will be out there trying to deceive and try to tear down, church. And we cannot let it slip into our church. I'm not just talking about some false doctrine or false religion. I'm talking about we cannot let division come among the brothers and sisters. We cannot let that. We must have that kind of atmosphere where we want people to grow in the Lord. We want people to mature in the Lord. And when somebody is not doing that, we need to observe and find out why they're not growing. If these little children did not grow physically, we'd be wanting to know why. We'd be observing why. Are they not eating right? Are they not doing this right? What's wrong? When a person is not growing spiritually, it's not just the three pastors' job to observe and to find out why. He tells us here. Paul says, let us. He's not just talking to the elders. He says, let us. He is writing this letter to a congregation, to a church, to a group of people. And he says, let us observe one another.
Yeah. Come on, brother.
You should be disappointed when someone else is not growing spiritually.
Right.
You should be concerned when somebody's not seeking God's.
Right.
You need to observe. Why aren't they? What's hindering? And try to get them on fire for God again.
Amen.
Observe one another.
Yeah.
Amen. Let me go on. Verse 25, he tells us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another. That goes along with verse 24. And provoking unto love. But we are to exhort one another. So much. This time that we're living in, church, he says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The assembling of ourselves talks about it is a complete collection. A complete collection. You know, you can take a puzzle. Have you ever took a used puzzle and you put it together and there's a piece missing? It's not finished. It's not complete. It's like, it's worthless. Piece of missing.
Right. Come on, brother.
That's what he's talking about here, assembling ourselves together. This word, assembling ourselves, is the word, it means a complete collection. A complete collection. If the whole church is not assembling themselves together, part of it's missing.
Right.
A piece is missing out of the puzzle. What are you going to do? I remember years ago, my parents and stuff, in the evenings and different things, they'd put some puzzles together. Those big 1,000-piece puzzles and have that folding table out and sit down, That was before people got glued to the TVs and all the time and stuff, You did other things to entertain yourself, little hobbies and different things. And my dad, the farm he worked on, they had pecan trees and nobody wanted the pecans, and he would collect them by the 5-gallon buckets, and in the evenings he would sit there in that dining room table busting pecans and digging them out and stuff. Hour after hour in the evenings. Keep yourself busy doing something. Putting those puzzles together. Piece be missing. You go looking for it. You open up the vacuum cleaner. Did I accidentally fall off the table and I sucked it up in the vacuum cleaner? Get the vacuum cleaner out. You get the bag out. You go through all the dirt and that stuff. You're looking for that piece. Now I'm trying to give you an example here. I'm not trying to be funny, but you're looking for it. You want to know why. Where's that piece? I spent hours. I got a 1,000-piece puzzle, but I only got 999. And I need one more piece to make this thing complete. And Paul's telling us this is what's got to take place in the church. You need a complete collection of people gathered together. And he tells us, the closer you get to the coming of the Lord, that church, that collection of people needs to be complete. The closer you get to the Lord, the coming of the Lord, every one of you need to be here.
Yes, amen.
Every one of you need to be here. I understand what Sister Abby said about in her testimony. There's not a Wednesday night that goes by my flesh wants to sit down. After you've done work, 8, 10, 11 hours, whatever it may be, if you've been roofed all day long, the body wants to stop. It's aching, it's tired, it wants to stop. And if I go to the recliner and stop, it's over.
Right.
Fine, I got to do something else. Why? Because I've got to be at the house of God.
Right.
You say, well, I'm an elder. I understand I'm an elder. I understand I've got responsibilities. But I understand that I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ for Doug Lapp.
Right. Come on, brother.
And I've got to make heaven.
That's right. Amen.
I don't just have to be here because I'm an elder. I've got to make heaven myself.
Amen.
And I need to be together. As she said, you've been in the world all day long, all week long. And I'm telling you, the world's whooped you around and stuff. You need to be in the house of God and have that complete collection of saints.
Amen.
Yes, sir. It is.
Because Satan's out there to destroy us, and you need to be in here and being strengthened.
Right. Amen.
He tells us, not forsaking assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some are or some is, but exhorting one another.
Right.
How many testimonies we have tonight?
Mm-hmm.
That's exhorting one another.
Right.
Amen. Talking about the goodness of God.
Right.
Talking about Brother John gave testimony Sunday. The Lord took care of him, watched over him.
Right.
That's encouraging. It brought back everybody, a bunch of other, several other people testified and brought back memory of how God protected you in times past.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
All of you could have stood up and testified and give that kind of testimony. God, how God spared your life.
Right.
A lot of you could say how God even spared your life when you was in sin.
Right. Amen.
That's there is encouraging one another. That is helping one another, because Satan is out there to destroy us, and he tells us the more as you see the day approaching. Is Jesus soon to come? Everybody say Jesus is soon to come?
Oh, yes.
Amen. You need to be together.
Amen.
You need to be together, church. Come with that mindset, church. I'm coming to encourage one another. I'm not coming just to hear another message. I'm not coming just to sing. I'm going to draw closer to God. I'm going to hold on to what I have. I'm telling you, every time you stay out of church, I know there's time. I'm not ignorant. I know there's times. I mean, you've got to be. Things got to take place. I understand that. But if you just got some soft lullaby excuse why you're not here, I'm telling you, it's slipping. What you have is slipping, church. When you let that take place, you better hold on to what you have. And the more you stay away from the saints of God, the easier it's going to be to slip, church. The easier it's going to be to slip. Acknowledge. Watch. Be observant of other people. How can I help? What are they going through? How can I encourage them? Provoke them to love. Encourage one another. We can go right into the Holies of Holies, church. Do you really get a hold of that? I can go right into the presence of Almighty God. It can be riding down the road. It can be working. It can be washing the dishes. I can go right into His presence. Because the veil has been rent. Which is Jesus Christ's body. Amen. Stand tonight, will you? I hope you'll think about these four things I talked about. Draw near. Let us draw near, He tells us. Let us hold fast, church. Hold fast. I didn't go there, but in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, I believe it is, He talks about, and you know the story. The more you know, the more you're going to be accountable for, church. We can rejoice and say, man, we get some good truth and we get some good preaching. And if you just let it just go right by you, it's been revealed to you.
Yes, it has.
And you're going to be accountable for it, church. The more you know, the more you're going to be accountable. Hold on to what you have, church. Don't let Satan take this away. Be faithful to the house of God.
Yes, Jesus.
And to one another. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the day You've given us, Lord. For the blessings You stowed upon us, Lord, for Your word. I praise Your name, God, for all that You've provided for us, Lord. And I just thank You, Lord, for Your word tonight. God, help us, Lord, to draw close to You. This hour, Lord, we're living in, I pray, God, that You would touch us, Lord Jesus. God, I ask You, Lord, that You just do a word, God. I pray, Father, help us, Lord. I pray, God, for we do a work, Lord, in this hour, God. And I know Satan is going to do everything he can to try to keep us, Lord, and try to keep us out of Your church, Lord, and away from You, Lord. And I just pray, God, that You just do a work and help us, God, and draw closer to You, Lord. God, with a pure heart, Lord. Our conscience sprinkled, Lord. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, God, that You would do a work, Lord. I pray, God, help us, Lord. Oh, God, we need You, Lord. We need You, God. We need You. We need You, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. I pray, God, this hour we're living in, Lord. Work and mold us and shape us, God. I pray, Lord Jesus. God, help us, Lord, to acknowledge one another, Lord. Help us, God, to watch, Lord Jesus. God, to watch complete, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, and help us, Lord. Oh, Jesus, touch us, Lord. Oh, God, and touch, Lord, I pray, God. Oh, Jesus, do a work, God, I pray, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we need You, Lord. Oh, God, help us, Lord, I pray, God. Help us, God, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, Lord. God, help us to draw closer to You. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, God, touch us, Lord, I pray, God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God. God, help us, Lord Jesus, to be a powerful church, Lord. God, that we be bound together, Lord. God, that we'd be faithful to each other, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God.